Welcome in, everybody. It's an emergency edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. So you're probably, hopefully, just listening to our other show today where I was getting into receiving running backs and what they were going to do with Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, Corey Clement, because there was all this Darren Sproles talk last week with Sproles saying he would come back and Doug Peterson comparing Boston Scott to it. Then suddenly, about an hour later, the Eagles did the deal. Gino, hashtag do the deal, which I have not said since 2015 when we thought we were going to move up for Marcus Mariota.
We're in a different era.
Yeah, we're in another era now. It is official. The Eagles have extended Carson Wentz to the mega deal that we've all been expecting for the past year, basically. And according to Adam Schefter, this deal is 4 years worth $128 million and includes guarantees of over $107 million, which is right next to Russell Wilson.
That's
for
gigantic.
Most. It's right next to Russell Wilson for most guaranteed money. So the deal is now 6 years for $154 million.
And that's the key there, Lou. We were talking about this before the show starts, and it kind of was a brain buster for you, but looking at this contract in context of what the contract is as a whole, you have to measure the AAV on this.
Right.
So right now you have him locked up for 6 more years, which is great. That's exactly what you would expect to pay a quarterback long term. You see 6 and 7 year contracts all the time when you lock up young quarterbacks, especially around 25, 26 years old. So right now you have him for 2 more years on the rookie deal because you have this current year and then you have the option year and then you have the 4 years when the contract kicks in. But averaging it out, I just did this right before we hopped on the mics, and you could check out my tweet at @Gino_LOE. I just tweeted that if you break it down according to Over the Cap, he's only the 8th highest paid quarterback in regards to AAV.
Because what's it, $25 million annually
it's
on AAV?
$26.67 million per, which is not too bad, Lou. I mean, looking at it this way, we locked him up before the two other quarterbacks that had to get paid in this class, Goff and Dak.
Poor Rams and poor Cowboys if they give those contracts out, which it seems like it's about to happen.
For as much as the rivalry between the Eagles and the Cowboys is just all spite and hate, Dak Prescott has to be licking his chops because he's going to get paid.
Well, Goff too, because Wentz and Goff have the same agent. So the Rams, I imagine, had to have been Well, unless they don't plan on signing Goff. Mm-hmm. If I were the Rams, I would have been trying to get that deal done first. Because, like you're talking about with those two, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes could get, what, like $200 million? Also,
yeah, there's talk about it.
I mentioned it to you before the show. Mm-hmm. The CBA is up in a year.
Yeah, that was a great point,
and
Lou.
And who knows what's going to happen with contracts after that, with guaranteed money, mm-hmm. different structures of contracts after the CBA. We have no idea what that's going to impact, too. So, for me, early on, the only reason I wanted to wait, some people want to wait because based on performance, and that to me is ludicrous. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago talking about the impact of paying a quarterback, and I mentioned, do you not want to pay a quarterback in general, or do you not want to pay Carson Wentz? Mm-hmm. For me, it was making sure the stress fracture in his back was okay, because sometimes that never fully heals. I feel even better about it now because they did pay him, which means they mm-hmm. have to, because they could have waited. They could have technically waited for another, 4 years?
No.
This year, the 5th-year option, you could have tagged him twice. You
could have
pulled
the
Kirk Cousins on him,
That's
and you could have did
true,
that.
Lou.
So the fact that they didn't do that makes me feel like they are confident in his health. He's a full go right now. But don't come to me and tell me about the performance thing.
Yeah.
Last year, the dude had a fracture in his back, and his numbers, if he finishes those final 3 games, we're gonna match Tom Brady's 2017 mm-hmm. MVP numbers. Mind you, the only reason he won MVP was because Carson Wentz got hurt. The only reason you wouldn't want to pay Wentz right now would have been because of the injuries. That for me is it. I performance wise, this is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
Without a doubt, Lou. And I just have a little aside. That wasn't 26.67. It was actually 25.67.
All right, that's
so
even
it makes
better.
It look even better, because after Goff signs, after Dak signs, after Mahomes signs, after Trubisky signs, in 2 years, Carson Wentz could be realistically between 13th and 15th in AAV. And for a guy that we were talking about 2 seasons ago, being an MVP caliber talent, and we fully expect him back to be healthy. He's been in OTAs the entire time working with these.
He looks incredible.
He has the most weapons for any quarterback in Eagles history that they've ever assembled.
They're the deepest right now on paper they've ever been.
Without a doubt. And he's been connecting with rookies like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He's clicking with Deshaun, who's been running unbelievable routes. And it just goes to show you that Jeffrey Lurie and him did that weird, awkward video before the contract was fully announced, about 30 seconds before.
The other Eagles' official Twitter account videos are giving me all the feels. Going back to 2016, showing the war room stuff.
Yeah, the picture they did with the three of them, with Doug, Howie, and Jeffrey, was pretty cool. But it just goes to show you how much they respect Carson, how much Carson respects this organization, and how much Howie has control of this team and this franchise. And they have this goal at hand to win a Super Bowl, and they have now assembled a roster. And this was one of the last two pieces, because there's still a big contract we see waiting in the wings to happen, but they now have 17 of 22 starters. Adam Kaplan with a great tweet pointing that out.
That's why locked cap space through, does not matter, people, because they're paying
locked up through 2020.
There's so many good players. They're paying their championship roster. They're paying that core that already won you one title. They're all locked up for at least another couple seasons. And not only you're talking about with Howie, like, they're going in for championships, plural championships.
Yep.
And how you do that, some people say it's a disadvantage. You have to get a quarterback of Carson Wentz's caliber, mm-hmm, that will keep you in contention for era after era, right? I mean, we see it with the Seahawks right now with Russell Wilson.
Yep.
It's a totally new regime, not based on general manager and head coach, but personnel-wise, it's a totally new era in Seattle, and they still make the playoffs. I mean, how many different regimes has Tom Brady gone through with the Patriots and the versions of that? I mean, it's basically two separate dynasties in New England.
Mm-hmm.
The one consistent factor outside of the head coach is the quarterback, and now to do that, you have to pay them now. You're not going to be, unless you plan on just nailing a quarterback in the draft every 4 years, this is what has to happen now. You pay these caliber quarterbacks, not saying you have to pay anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to pay Goff this money. I wouldn't want to pay Dak.
No.
So I'm not saying pay anybody this money, but when you have the guy, in order to keep him, this is just now, do you know what you got to do?
This was part of the plan back when they decided to trade Sam Bradford in that offseason.
We've come a long way since then, huh?
That same year. They knew that they were going to get to this point. They knew they were going to have to pay him. They traded assets because they said, yeah, maybe we have to invest heavily now, but the dividends we're going to receive from this individual player, a franchise-altering player at the most important position in football, they went all in. They put all their chips in the middle of the table, and that's what they're doing with this extension. One, it allows you to get him to just under right around 30 years old with this deal. What, 6 years from now, he's 25, he'll just be over 31.
Yep.
That'll be the perfect time to restructure right when he's around 30. You can check on his health. If his health declines, it's always a possibility we've seen with him, then you have an out. But if he continues to improve, you just continue to milk this contract and continue to restructure his contract, much like they have done with Tom Brady in New England, because Howie Roseman has gone and shown you time and time again that salary cap doesn't matter. Like we say, Lou, they came into this offseason with salary cap concerns, and now we're sitting here talking about how we just signed our franchise quarterback.
Before this deal happened, they were sitting on like $26 million in space. And it's why the other day when I was talking about Malcolm Jenkins and why they should pay him, like, they have the ability. It's incredible
without
that they
doubt
have the ability to do all of this. And I think this is interesting. I said it on the show on Tuesday. Maybe the reason, and I was hoping the reason they hadn't paid Jenkins yet was because they were waiting for this big shoe to drop first. I was praying it wasn't that they don't plan on paying Jenkins, because for me, that's the wrong player to finally put your foot down. And this is very encouraging that they were trying to work this out. It was exactly that. A bunch of listeners, too, were hitting me up on Twitter, by the way, at DiBiase, shameless plug. They were also mentioning maybe they're just trying to work out the Wentz contract first. I imagine, Gino, a lot of this, considering how he loves to backload.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very interesting to see kind of year by year when the full contract details come
Definitely.
Out. I'm very interested to see what they're kind of trying to do with this, because they have backloaded a lot of other contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they do plan on front-loading some of it in guarantees and stuff. But, I mean, the salary cap goes up almost every single year. Went up
the
$10 million.
CBA is a huge factor.
The CBA,
that could rise dramatically.
You know what else is a big impact, too? Russell Wilson was talking about it, sports betting. If sports betting becomes legal, do you know how much? First off, every league is going to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine just like with these mega TV deals, let's say in the NBA, how the salary cap in the NBA spiked. It's why Kevin Durant could sign in Golden State. Could be
Della DeDova was getting paid, $70 million
Timofey Mozgov
crazy.
Was getting big contract with the Lakers and stuff. It could be a very similar impact if gambling, sports gambling becomes legal soon, which, you know, across the country, that, if the NFL takes advantage of that, salary cap spike right there. So, for me, the money is not as concerning as I think some people just are so caught up with salary cap space. And you're paying good – when you're on these terrible contracts, sure.
Yeah.
But how many contracts could you say right now in Philly are terrible right now? Like, what contract are we like, we got to get out of that?
I thought the one that was kind of iffy was that Tim Jernigan one. And then
and
they
got out of it.
They got out of it, and he comes back on a dirt cheap deal. I am never worried about salary cap with Howie Roseman. Like, I can't say it enough. It's just – he knows exactly what he's doing. The fact that Joe Douglas is still in the building today as well is beyond all belief.
Well, and that's good, too, because we can just get – I tweeted it. Just keep milking these draft classes because, I mean, eventually, again, you're gonna have to hit on the draft picks because the Eagles right now are – they're not an older roster. I think they are very well-balanced. They have a lot of contributing young guys. They have a lot of guys smack dab in the middle of their prime. They do have some guys in their mid-30s, but still, I mean – Deshaun, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelsey. These are still top guys at their positions still. So even the guys that are older, but it's very well balanced. And now that, you know, you made this move, continue to nail these drafts. Hopefully you get at least another class out of Joe Douglas, unless the cheap Jets decide to change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and you continue with Carson Wentz as the guy because he, once again, talent-wise, the some of the throws that he makes or dares to even try, there's only a handful of guys in the league to do it. And that's what I want in a quarterback, is a guy that you win. You made this point, I think. Yeah. And it was from the Scouting Academy, right? You win because of Carson Wentz.
Yep.
You win with a lot of quarterbacks.
Definitely.
You're not paying the guys you're winning with $107 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to. I'm just very grateful that the Rams decided to take Jared Goff first overall and we could pay this guy and not the other one. Because I don't know if I could stomach, if I'm a Rams guy or I'm a Cowboys guy, I don't know if I could stomach paying those two quarterbacks. I couldn't.
And the greatness about this is, Lou, is that we are paying a quarterback that we can win because of. And then there's going to be quarterbacks that are paid that you can win with, like Dak and Goff, that are going to make more money than Carson Wentz.
I'll be interested to see when the first team finally just puts their foot down and says, we're not doing this. Washington kind of was with Kirk.
I think the Rams, in all reality, have a chance to do that.
Why wouldn't they have done the deal already?
I agree.
Right? I mean, I just feel like the more you wait, Joe Banner was talking about it, the more you wait, now, I mean, you look at the agents now of Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, this is a big negotiating plus for Jared Goff. And same thing for Dak Prescott, right? Even though... because unless the Cowboys say you're not as good as Carson Wentz, which I couldn't, they would never say that to their quarterback.
But
you imagine they're going to try to match or, you know, supplant what this Wentz deal is.
Oh,
now.
Jerry will not get outclassed by Jeffrey Lurie. He will pay his quarterback his money. Don't you worry about that.
Yep.
That's 1980 Smash Mouth football for
good Lord.
The Jones family.
They're paying Alex Smith White, if you ask me.
Yeah, I want to step back, Lou, to the point about paying Malcolm Jenkins. I think they've had this all mapped out for the entire time. Because how much interest they take in safeties in the draft class? Like, let's take a step back. They had all the chance in the world
to draft.
They could have gotten Nasir Adderley.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, there were plenty of names that we mentioned time and time again that they could have gotten, could have drafted, could have developed behind these guys. But now they're sitting here, they don't have a young developmental safety. They're going to pay Malcolm Jenkins. Like, Howie Roseman is not going to just let this come out of left field. That said, oh, I got to pay Malcolm Jenkins all of a sudden. This was waiting in the wings. We were looking at the numbers the other day. He's, what, the eighth highest paid safety right now?
Adrian Amos makes more.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Amos.
But
I don't think Landon Collins should make more money than Malcolm Jenkins.
$6 million more, by the way.
Yeah, which is outrageous. He deserves to get paid as a top five safety. I without a doubt think so. He's still in his prime. You want to get him under contract for at least 3 more years.
Well, and you imagine they're probably going to turn a lot of it into guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm interested how these two contracts will kind of play into effect on each other, because you have right now about $25 million in space.
Yep.
So I wonder how much they're giving Wentz up front. because that'll if they did backload it a lot, they'll still preserve a lot of that money to throw Malcolm Jenkins, right? Because I feel like they should have some. They're probably gonna have some wiggle room up front because that's how you get Malcolm Jenkins that money now. Because you're not backloading Malcolm Jenkins. Well, cap hit wise, you are, but you're gonna get him.
You'll do a 3 year with the out, which they do most of the time, right? Like Ronald Darby's deal, which is
so maybe Wentz's cap hit's gonna be lower right now, or maybe it's higher now. Maybe the cap hits higher now and the guarantees are
I know Fletcher Cox has a massive cap hit coming up, like $22 or $23 million within the next 2 years. And I can't expect them to put that much guaranteed money into Carson Wentz's deal up front. I would expect it on the back end, like you said. Right. And I completely think
that they'll... Because then the cap hit would be higher now, but maybe the cap hit's lower down the road, and that's where the guaranteed money kicks in.
Well, if you backload it,
because if you backload, you're getting more guaranteed money now. Because how backloading? If you guarantee money now, the cap hits come later. It's what's happening with Lane Johnson right now. Like Lane Johnson's cap hit's only, I think, like $6-7 million. But you guarantee all that money now, and then the cap hit spreads out.
You're right.
Down
the road. Sorry, I apologize about that. Yeah, but
it's a crazy universe that is the salary cap in sports.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I got to read our friend Zach Moore's book on that.
Yeah, Caponomics.
Caponomics, shout
that,
out.
That backloading, it was like the first three pages.
Howie Roseman knows how to construct this team. He's done it time and time again. And now you have your franchise quarterback. And I can't stress enough that $25.67 million AAV. Just look at it that way. Don't look at the guaranteed money because it's all going to be spread out. Howie knows what he's doing. Just look at it in terms of average value, because market value-wise, you're getting a top five quarterback, in our opinion, for top 10 to 12 money in 2 to 3 years, realistically, Lou.
Yeah, I look at it, and now this year is so big, because I think now that Wentz
he's
has
gotta
that,
have a huge year.
He's got the back injury in the past now, hopefully. Nick Foles is gone, which I don't think it would have impacted him at all, but I definitely think now that he's just the guy and you don't have Foles behind him, Foles wasn't someone that was going to call for the job or anything,
right.
But you know, there's just that aura of having a legend behind you, right? I mean, you're a human being. As much as they were great friends, I mean, they had a lot of the same morals. They were almost identical people, basically. But having him behind you, though, there was always going to be that, I don't know, I feel like edge. And now I think fully embracing with how strong this roster is right now, I trust it. I haven't seen a lot of people skeptical about the deal. But again, like I said, you can't go cheap on quarterbacks.
No,
much like I said on weapons
not.
When they were bringing in Arcega Whiteside.
Especially good ones. Like, let's differentiate that. Like,
yeah,
good and great quarterbacks. Like, Kirk Cousins has never been a great quarterback. When has he ever proven it?
He has five
performed
wins against 500
in big
teams,
games?
Right? So never. Never. He literally
hasn't.
Is never.
And he got more money than everybody.
He got more guaranteed money than anybody ever,
ever.
Right?
Ever.
Before Russell Wilson?
It's crazy to say. Like, it's almost hard to say that is a real stat and a real fact in the NFL, but that's the reality of it. It's the most important position in football. You know what I'm very interested in is when Baker's class comes up and they have to pay all these guys, how they're all going to get paid, how much that's going to
absolutely
shift the market. That's going to cause a seismic shift in the quarterback market.
Well, I think the Mahomes one's going to be the first one.
Yeah, that's going to be the first stick of dynamite in there, but it's going to be a nuclear bomb when all six of them have to get paid.
Because
that's especially
going to
be after the CBA. That's what I was going to get into. Imagine if the salary cap goes up $50 million per year. Like, just throw a crazy number out there, because in the NBA, it went up close to that.
But see, this is why it doesn't, like, the numbers look very massive.
They do.
But when the cap keeps going up like that,
you have to measure it with inflation. Like, that's what's going to happen. There's always X factors that can happen. There's always outs. There's always things that you can do to restructure the contract. Like, right now, this contract is fine. And if you want to restructure it to put it in your favor, what has Tom Brady done the last X amount of years? They just keep restructuring the guy's contract to make his cap hit less and less, and they keep continuing to add pieces around him. What are you worried about? We talk about Howie Roseman being the second best GM in football. He's doing it for a reason.
Number one, according to USA Today, they put him ahead of Belichick.
Get out of here. I did not see that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little feisty in my opinion, but
But I even talked to Zach Moore about it on the podcast. Like, can't you just keep kicking the can down the road?
Yes.
I mean, it seems like a sustainable strategy. And the Eagles clearly expect the cap to keep going up. Or else why would you backload? Why would you backload it to the point where the cap hits are going to get bigger and bigger mm-hmm. as the years go on if you think the cap is going to level out eventually? If it levels out eventually, mm-hmm. but your caps keep going up, that's when you get into trouble. But the Eagles doing all of this mm-hmm. tells me they fully expect, even with the CBA coming up, maybe the CBA will even help it, that the cap is going to skyrocket. I mean, it's increased, you know, certain amounts each year. Like, again, I think it was like $10 million this mm-hmm. year. But, right, eventually, with a couple things happening, a couple dice rolling the right way, a
couple TV deals just come up,
it could skyrocket.
It could skyrocket. Look at what TNT is doing, buying up. They bought up the UEFA, the Champions League. They're buying up all these things. There's so many X factors that can come into play. NBC's making pushes into different sports. There could be a bidding war, and it just sets the NFL market to skyrocket. Because look at what are the most watched TV shows out there. It's NFL every single week. Like, as much as people want to say that the NFL is losing fandom, it is absolutely not. People are turning to other outlets, cutting the cord, XYZ, which are hard to measure. And as an accountant, like, I look at all these numbers and stuff, and right now, the NFL as an economy is skyrocketing. They're going into different countries like Mexico. They want to play games in China. They want to go into Europe. The markets are only going to expand, and economic factors, that's how you have to look at it. The NFL, when it all comes down to it, what do players say when they get cut from a contract? What do they say, like, when they've been there for 15 years? Like, guys like Brian Dawkins leave town. It's just a business, and that's what it comes down to. And the NFL being a business, they know. Howie Roseman knows. He's a smart guy. He's a college graduate. He has a degree. He knows what he's doing. He's running an NFL franchise. Do you not think he's looking at outside factors other than just what's happening in the NFL? No, he knows what's going on. And like we said, Lou, the NBA did it. They were the trendsetters to get these big deals because people are willing to watch. You see decreases in NHL viewership and viewership in other sports. It's because they're turning to the big two right now, which are the NBA and the NFL.
It's true.
And it's only going to continue to rise. And to think right now when that CBA comes up that there's a potential work stoppage for a year, they're going to have to hammer out a deal that's going to be in place for decades. Well, and it's going to be, it's just going to shape the NFL for years to come, and it's going to be great for the players. And right now, it's great for the Eagles, because when that happens, we're going to be sitting here after 2 years of Carson Wentz's deal saying, wow, what a bargain.
And I think the best is yet to come. I really
Absolutely.
Do. I think he has so much ahead
He's
of him.
He's so smart.
I mean, Lewis Riddick picking him to win MVP made me feel even better about the situation. Because, again, he was the Mahomes 2 years ago. He really was.
He was who people were saying was the guy.
Yeah, and now with the Mahomes hype and all these other young guys, I'll tell you, like, the NFL right now has got a lot of fun quarterbacks.
Very exciting.
It's very exciting. Like, the quarterback group in the NFL right now is awesome. And there's going to be even more. And the next draft class mm-hmm. is pretty strong, too, with Tua and your boy Herbert from Oregon and stuff. So the best is yet to come, and he kind of was the – I am really hoping 2019 is a big year, because – Wentz's struggles with the injuries the past couple years has allowed for a lot of people see Joe Santoliquido, see Donovan McNabb. A lot of people have used Carson Wentz as a way to get their own media tour, right? They take advantage of a guy that they know the mm-hmm. city has rallied around. That's why McNabb's jealous, by the way. They know the city has rallied around him more than a player I've ever seen outside mm-hmm. of maybe Brian Dawkins. So they took advantage of that in a year where he struggled with injuries. The team struggled mm-hmm. to stay consistent with him under center. And that's when the takes start flying. And I think a couple people are already going to start to take advantage of it now with this contract. But even with the injuries, the back was the only thing that I was really scared of.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at all the other injuries. They're not like Sidney Jones injuries. They're not Sam Bradford injuries where it's like, we got to make sure that is just in the past, because that's something mm-hmm. that can continue to come up time and time again. Whereas with Wentz, it was the first injury at North Dakota State, he hit a guy's helmet. He hit his offensive line's helmet with his hand. The second injury, in the preseason against Tampa Bay, his mm-hmm. first game ever, he breaks his ribs, which, by the way, he probably would have played.
Oh, definitely.
If like that was a regular season injury and he was the starter, which no one thought he'd be the starter at that mm-hmm. point, he eventually did become it. He would have played in that one. that's not a recurring injury. Right when you break your rib, it's not like, no. Oh, now you're going to break your rib all the time. But even the ACL injury, for me, it was a freak accident where he's trying to make a play in one of the biggest games of his – still the biggest game of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, the back injury is the one that I was kind of concerned with. But, again, I'm a little bit more confident now because he just looks incredible at OTAs, mm-hmm. and they did the deal. If they were really concerned, they wouldn't have done it yet. They could have waited. Sure. Yeah, a lot of people can say that they'd prefer them to wait based on the injury, but their confidence in it is making me more confident because why do this mega deal? 107, it wasn't even, I thought maybe, you know, I tweeted before, I'm like, maybe there's some playtime incentives in this where Wentz can still capitalize on that big time money, but there are some team-friendly outs in this, some team-friendly things. It doesn't look like it. They are just... They believe
They're
in
committed
him.
To him, dude. It just seems like there's no reason to.
They just believe in him.
Yeah, and that's going to make Carson just take on this role as the franchise even stronger because that just shows he's like, okay, I'm gonna go and prove my worth. And he's a guy, high character guy. He's going to want to carry his own and carry this franchise and win a quarterback and get out of the shadow of Nick Foles that is cast over him. And
well, even those Foles, man. I mean, I know you know. I'm preaching to the choir. Why I have gravitated more towards Wentz than maybe any player in this organization is because I feel like it all started. I feel like he's the symbol of like this new way of Philadelphia Eagles football.
I agree, dude.
The decision finally, because there were so many with Chip, it was just like about like let's just get to that floor, right? Mm-hmm. Let's band-aid these corners, let's just patch it up with all these veterans, let's trade for Sam Bradford. I don't want to go get this young guy. He never invested in a young quarterback. I think that's out of all Chip Kelly's faults. I think the biggest one was he never tried to do it how he finally did. And then Howie comes in the second tenure and he's like, we're done striving for mediocrity. We're going to go play for championships. And the first move that really showed they were going all in was moving up from pick 13 to 8 and then pick 8 to 2. And that became Carson Wentz. So for me, when people say Carson Wentz isn't a Super Bowl quarterback, It's different for me. Wentz is what started it. He's what got you home field advantage. And now I really hope he finishes the job because that would be, to me, that's one of the best stories in sports right now would be for Carson Wentz to finish that job that he really started not only by playing in that 2017 season, getting you home field advantage, but just by getting drafted. That showed Philly is done losing in NFC championship games. They're done not winning a playoff game for 10 years, 9 years from 2008 to 2017, he was the symbol. And that contract tells you that they believe he's going to continue to set that standard for hopefully another decade and hopefully more.
I think the key there was this, that he's a symbol of hope to getting out of mediocrity. And that's a big thing in sports. And
because you never want to be that team that's always 7-9. Look at the Buffalo Bills.
I was like, just going to say, I was just going to get to it.
For like 16 years, man, they weren't even ever 2-14. They were 7-9 all the time.
We're Buffalo Sabres fans, and they're sitting here with a chance to sign a potential 40-plus goal scorer that's a proven goal scorer, and there's discussions that they don't want to go above $8 million, and Jeff Skinner wants $9 million, and I tweeted today that scared money doesn't make any money. And
you can't
that's
be stingy with that.
You can't be stingy
with star players. Don't get here's what you don't go cheap on. You don't go cheap on quarterbacks. You don't go cheap on offensive and defensive linemen.
Absolutely.
And for me, you don't go cheap on skill positions. Because I don't want to go back to 2016 ever, too, with that receiving core. And they have it all set right now.
There's a salary cap. That is the one thing to remember. You want to be at that cap. You want to pay good players. And sitting there
and
saying...
And it's not a hard cap. It's not like the NHL where we've seen there's so many loopholes that's why there's a joke on Twitter, the NFL salary cap is a myth.
It is. No, it's not a myth. It's a fact. There
is no
salary
cap. When you have
a capologist,
even Chip, dude, it was a little dig at Howie, but Chip, what did he call Howie? A cap guy.
Yeah, he called him the cap guy. Because it's a trait and it's a skill.
It was a dig saying he's not a football guy, but
he has a master's in capology. It's a fact. And he knows how to construct a roster with players through analytics that they're trying to move into, and Joe Douglas he's not too fond of that, apparently, is the talk. But mixed with this new evaluation method that they brought in with Joe Douglas, and collaboratively those two elements have provided them to construct a roster that is going to compete and has competed since when, Lou? 2017. We're now in the third year of a team that we said could be a potential dynasty, and they just signed their franchise quarterback. They just brought in a running back in the second round that they think could be the potential star guy there. They just brought in a wide receiver they think could be a potential number one. They just drafted the left tackle of the future to be only the third left tackle in the franchise in the last almost 20 years. They are constructing this roster, and we're not even talking about the defense yet. This team is in perfect position to set themselves up to be the next team in the NFL, the team to beat in the NFC every year. You look right now, Lou, in the NFC, Drew Brees is going to retire within 1 to 2 years. They're a team. They're very going to they're going to be up against the cap with the guys that they're going to have to pay. Michael Thomas is going to get a mega deal. Alvin Kamara is probably going to get a mega deal. They have many young defensive players they're going to have to pay. You have other teams like the Dallas Cowboys that are in a conundrum right now. They have three players that they have to pay. They're probably going to only be able to pay two of them realistically because they just signed Lawrence. You're going to have to sign Dak, Zeke, and Cooper. Who do you pick?
Well, that's the big thing, too. The Eagles, they're as talented as anybody. But what's the other, like, mega deal they have right now?
Fletcher Cox.
That's really that's it, right?
And that's the second most important position in football.
So we found a way to have equal caliber players, but even like a team like the Rams, they're going to have to pay Goff. They already paid Gurley. They already paid Brandon Cooks. They already paid Aaron Donald. And the Eagles have the Rams number. They've shown that time and time again the past couple years. So, and then in the NFC North, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is getting up there in age.
He has a young team around Chicago, him. That's one team I'll say. But right now, the juggernauts, Chicago's still who like are the juggernauts?
Philadelphia and the Rams seem like, but even the Rams kind of went all in now, right?
Who's Marcus built Peter for the future? Team is built for the future? I'd say the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles for sure.
Chicago Bears. Dallas, if they can do it correctly.
Right.
Washington, possibly. But that's 4 to 5 years down the road. There's so many question marks in the NFC. Who's a team that has done it the past couple years and still has a majority of that core together for until 2020? The Philadelphia Eagles.
17 of 22 starters locked up until 2020.
Adam Kaplan, thank you for
that.
And
while they didn't have a lot of draft picks, they hopefully have locked down some important positions. Like you said, your left tackle of the future, your new Alshon after Alshon, your new LeSean McCoy and Miles Sanders. The secondary is super young right now. The defensive line could get a little younger, you know. But Fletcher Cox right now, right in his prime. Derek Barnett. Getting to me, year three is going to be a big one for him. They're doing it where they're going all in right now, but they are also set up pretty well. Where Wentz has got a core intact now. He's got, like you said, that offensive line doesn't seem like. I mean, they have some young pieces behind all of these guys in Dillard and Mailata. I'm so excited for Jordan Mailata. He's continuing to look sharp at OTAs.
Definitely.
And you have Arcega Whiteside and Goddard. Who knows with Aguilar? He's only 25 years old. Miles Sanders, they're really set up. It's an exciting time to be in. And this is a different. The difference too is they look incredible on paper, but they've proven that that's justified. Whereas there's been a lot of good Eagles teams that look good on paper, and then it's never the case. This is a different story.
I forgot to mention Seattle. We can't go without saying Seattle set up pretty well for success.
All right, before we wrap up the show, what's your favorite Carson Wentz moment over the first 3 years of his career?
Oh, that's tough.
There's a lot of them.
I just remember the feeling when I saw him play in that preseason game and that throw across his body to Zach Ertz, and I'm like, just for some reason, it just felt different, and it just felt like something new and something we hadn't seen before. Something we've really never seen. I mean, even with Donovan's greatness in his time here, like, it just felt different. But if I had to say it right now, as meaningless as it was, that throw to Nelson Aguilar against the Seahawks, because it just goes to show that team was on such a high, and like, the team was just broken in that game. Like, nothing was going right, and everybody had seemed to quit at that point. And
he's falling down.
He's stumbling, and he's like, the play's dead, and he's falling to the ground, and he whips it across his body, makes a throw I've never seen in my life. And I just think back to the days of Sam Bradford just falling down on the ground and just a Kevin Cobb that couldn't move.
Even
and
Nick Foles was kind of a
even
gumby
Nick Foles,
old.
And I'm just like, this is a different human being, and this is a guy I want leading my franchise. Like, I look around the NFL.
Just a
street if
baller,
I had to
dude.
Have Kirk Cousins running my franchise, if I had to have Eli Manning still as the guy in, for the Giants, I'm just over the moon with him right now.
And it's the style of player he is, too. I feel like young Eagles fans right now growing up, it's got to be awesome. Because for me, I gravitate, most people gravitate towards that kind of quarterback. That's why I loved Michael Vick in Philadelphia, even for that 2010 season, which was just magical. That style of, yes, Jared Goff is a solid starting quarterback. But when you see the kind of plays he makes like that one in Seattle, there's only so many people that can make that move, that play outside of structure. It's just like you're playing pickup football. And that's another incentive of, like, he is, again, it's justified. You don't pay everybody this deal, but when you can make those kind of plays, that to me shows you it doesn't matter. Doug Peterson could not be here. Alshon Jeffrey could not be here. Zach Ertz could not be here. But this guy, unless I just fill the roster with just absolute garbage for his entire career, much like Aaron Rodgers, there will be plays like I go back to the Cardinals playoff game to Jeff Janis right down the field.
Yep.
To Jeff Janis. Like, that's what Carson Wentz can do, too. So
he's the guy.
A good one. I like that.
He's being in Buffalo, we hear it all the time. Like, why is Tom Brady so good? Like, how does he make these receivers so good? And that's the thing. He makes them good. Jared Goff had arguably the best trio of wide receivers in the NFL for a given point in time. What happens when one of his best friends goes down? That team starts to sink. Carson Wentz elevates this roster. Look at that 2016 roster, Lou. There's no right they start that season 3-0. And with Ryan Matthews not switching hands on that outside run, they are 4-0.
And then that's
and because of
totally
who?
Different.
Because of who? Carson Wentz. That play against the Steelers, that was the game. That sealed the game. That just went to show them that Carson Wentz can break teams. He can just take over games, and I'm excited to see him get back. As you could see in the elevation of my voice over the last couple minutes, I just have the Monday Night Football, DeSean Jackson, just take out Mike Vick, put in Carson Wentz, just DeSean falling into the back of the end zone. It's going to be a thing of
beauty
when we see.
We need a double
fall
back with Aguilar and DeSean.
It's going to be beautiful, Lou.
My favorite memory is actually week one, 2016. Because it's the same thing when you're talking about with the Tampa Bay game. When
that
you're
first
like,
drive,
you're
man.
Like, oh, you kind of were just in, I still remember how starstruck, like in awe I was. Where he just drives down the field. That, you know, he hits Ertz on that awesome back shoulder one-handed catch. He moves off the play action to the left to Brent Celek. And then the pass to Jordan Matthews in the back of the end zone. The first drive of the game. And it was when he gets forced into the starting lineup because they trade Sam Bradford last second. Then some people still thought, okay, Chase Daniel's going to start, and it's Wentz, and some people think he wasn't nearly ready, and he does that the first play, and you're like, it was the first, because it's just this brand new thing, and it was all this stale Sam Bradford stuff, and even before that, with Foles, and just there was never a, even with McNabb, because fans didn't really want McNabb, there was never this is supposed to be the guy that saves us.
Yeah.
And then he starts by literally doing that. And that was just, it was a totally different ballgame. I was deciding between that and the Rams game, truthfully, because even though he got hurt, that was one of the grittiest performances I've
those
seen from a player.
Those couple touchdowns to Trey Burton were some of the best throws I've ever seen.
He throws the game-winning touchdown to Alshon on a torn ACL. Alshon's got a torn rotator cuff, it seems.
He played
right
all season last season with a broken back and put up those numbers. If you think a player playing at 75% can throw over 3,000 yards and win a couple games when should have won more if the defense didn't let him down, you now have him fully healthy with the most talented roster in franchise history, coming into a 2019 season, coming off just short of an NFC championship, following a Super Bowl team the year prior.
Now we just got
this is so goddamn exciting.
Now we just
got to
get him
Lou
in the playoffs. We just got to get that first snap under his belt, let him take that sigh of relief. We got to get him in the playoffs, and I think it's coming. I think there's no way this team, knock on wood, unless just another catastrophic amount of injuries happen, there is
that's a fact.
He's going to have the opportunity to do what Nick Foles did, and it was supposed to be the redemption tour last year, and it's going to be the redemption tour 2.0 this year. And I think the difference now too that the element we didn't have last year were those crazy plays to Nelson Agholor that you're talking about against Seattle, right? Because of the injury, it had to have happened early, right? Because he looked like himself against the Colts.
Yep.
He looked like himself against the Titans. And then around the time where it was that Minnesota game, that New York game, that Carolina game.
The flight to Jacksonville.
You could start to see him deteriorate a little bit mobility-wise in those plays where he's like, you're not tackling me, you're not tackling me, you're not tackling me. I'm going to bomb this 50 yards down the field to Nelly. Those were lacking, for sure. The numbers say that he averaged more yards per attempt than Foles, but you could definitely tell in the middle of the season, those games where there was like a month and a half span where Agholor and Alshon were just non-existent. Because, and I think the only reason was, it wasn't that Wentz and Ertz are best friends and they were favoring each other. I think it really was the injury. Now that he's healthy, and now that you add two guys that make their money down the field in Arcega Whiteside and DeSean Jackson... And I know you get giddy. that element's going to come back this year on offense.
It's unbelievable to think about, and I'm just happy they got him locked up because it really silences everybody that was hating on him. And DeMarcus Lawrence just tweeted that the rich get richer until they humble the ASS or ass, as some would say. But the thing is, the great Dak Prescott said in a press conference last year, winners focus on winning, and losers focus on winners. And it seems like all the teams around the NFC East are focused on one team, and that being the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's what Zach Brown
because they're the best team in the conference. They're the best team in the division. And if I am going to be damned if this team doesn't make a deep run in the playoffs because they have everything it takes, Lou. I'm not just talking out of fandom. I'm talking out of pure understanding of a football constructed roster.
Well, right. If we didn't believe in this team,
I didn't believe in 2015.
Yeah,
I didn't believe in 2016 when he's a rookie. 2017.
I didn't believe in 22. To be honest with you, I picked them to go 8-8 in 2017.
I did too. I didn't think they had a chance. But then when I saw the magic happening, I never doubted them. When I saw Carson Wentz came back last year, I said, this guy's going to put us in a position to get to the playoffs. And what did he do? He gave Nick Foles a chance to go and get to the playoffs, and they did just that. He is going to set this team up for success, much like he has done the past three seasons.
I think that's a good way to wrap it up. The Eagles extend Carson Wentz through the year 2024. Let's hope we have even longer after that with number 11. But the deal is officially done. Now we'll see what happens with Malcolm Jenkins. Make sure you stay tuned to Locked On Eagles. Subscribe to the show so that when that deal comes through and Jenkins gets back to NovaCare Complex, we'll have that covered for you. And everything else related to the Eagles 4 to 5 days a week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. We got written content as well up on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go, Birds. Secure that bag, baby.
Fly, Eagles, fly.